Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, I am chatting with Jayant Bhandari, a consultant, private investor a private investor and consultant to a lot of the well-known investors, large investors in the resource sector. Now, I know Jayant's well-known to a lot of our guests. Jayant, look, the fact of the matter is the precious metals markets in general are pretty slow right now. Really feels like we're in the middle of the summer doldrums. Nice to see gold in a little bit of an uptrend here, but still, there's a lot of work for gold to do in the upside and very much trading in a range now. So what we're going to talk about, something that you brought up to me off mic, you are currently in India and you wanted to report on more or less the situation in India and how that could carry over to the Indian gold market. So when that comes to demand or overall interest in gold, Jayant, since you're in India right now, give us a little update. What are you seeing, boots on the ground, and how does it carry over to the gold market?
So Corey, I have seen a massive increase in poverty in India. There are a lot of beggars on the streets. And now I know these are only words, but the scene is a bit heartbreaking. Hundreds of millions of people have been downgraded from the middle class to lower middle class to desperately poor. And the desperately poor population has probably gone up by about 100 million people. So that's a massive increase in poverty in the country. I'm hearing that a lot of people are just living on bread and rice. That's all they are eating, mixed with rice. So that's not a very nice situation with the country. The lockdowns have been very badly implemented. They wanted to implement lockdowns as the way some of the Western countries implemented when Indian government is incapable of giving out free handouts to poor people. So poor people have become extremely desperate. And you have to remember that vast majority, close to 80 or 90% of the population lives on $2 a day or less. 4 years back, the average daily wage earner would earn about $5 a day. Now in the city, you can pay half as much to those people. So imagine the inflation that has taken place in the last 4 years, and even in nominal terms, you're still paying half as much. Now, bringing this to the gold market, what is happening is that because a massive amount of poverty has hit the market, and because even the middle class people who were actually quite happy earlier with the lockdowns because they were working from home, but they failed to realize that if the poor people don't do well, who are the backbone of India, the middle class would eventually get hurt as well. So a lot of middle class people are losing their jobs. And as a result, a lot of gold from these people is coming to the market. So they have to sell their gold to continue to live. And at the same time, people who have had capital, the prices of a lot of things have gone up, particularly the stock market. The stock market has done extremely well because that, of course, has been a place where people who had cash could deploy. They couldn't really buy much. They couldn't really go out much. So there's a sort of tug of war between the sellers and the buyers. There are more buyers and there are a lot more sellers of a small change gold. I don't know which side will win. My fear is that Indian economy will take many, many years to come back to its normal, the normal that existed 4 years back. Because Indian government destroyed that normality with the demonetization they did, with the new sales tax that they implemented, and a lot of protests that the country was facing just before COVID hit the market. So I think my conclusion from based on what I see is that people who, you know, we all talk about how much gold India consumes. My view is that after the tug of war between the people who have the cash to buy gold and the people who are desperate for cash and hence selling gold is over, what we will probably see is that the economic situation of India dominating the net purchasing of gold by Indians. And that means that I don't see a great future of gold buying in India, certainly in the next few years. But my view is long-term almost the same, that India will not be the prime, one of the prime drivers of gold going forward.
Okay, so that's the long-term view too, and I think that's what's important. But in your eyes then, Giant, how critical is India and its individuals for driving this gold market? I ask that because, look, I've been in this sector for a while, and I constantly heard about China and how crucial they were to driving price. But in all fairness, it seems like these individual countries, they can have small impacts, but in a larger term sense, they don't seem to make the massive price moves that it seems like when the retail audience or larger institutional investors, when they get into the market, that they have in especially the gold market.
Yeah, I lack clarity on what's happening in the international market, Corey, because there's so much happening. The economic structure of the world has changed. But from what I see, paying closer attention to what's been happening in East Asia, and as you know, I pay a lot of attention to East Asia, what I have seen is that the effect of COVID on East Asia has been minimal. Most of East Asian countries have been completely open right from mostly open for all these days when we have been elsewhere struggling with COVID lockdowns. Even China implemented lockdowns only in limited areas. They never locked down the whole country. And China has been completely open for now more than a year. So the situation in East Asia has been very good. Economic growth has been very good in China. China seems to be back to its normal. And I know that a lot of people worry about several things to do with China. And, you know, of course, I can't predict the future, but from what I have seen with my many, many visits to China and now over the last 1.5 years, based on what I'm reading from the data, I think China will continue to do well economically and it will continue to buy gold as a result. I think China should be able to pick up the lack of demand from India. So that's what I'm thinking. Again, I'm thinking about the Western countries, that people with wealth in Western countries are increasingly worried about gold, about inflation. So they have gold and silver as commodities to through which to preserve their wealth. So I think the slack that India and other similar countries all the way up to Turkey will create should be picked up by the Western society, the wealthy people in the Western society and East Asians.
Giant, you bring up a good point there about the whole inflation narrative. We even saw inflation data this week out of the U.S. higher than expected, but we haven't seen huge moves in gold on the back of all this higher inflation data. I know it's expected, and argument still is that it's transitory. Why hasn't gold reacted more to the upside as we have seen this spike in inflation?
Well, I mean, I can only give example of India, which we have been talking about today. The problem is that when an economic problem hits, inflation is huge in India today. A lot of prices have gone up by 50 to 100%, particularly of things like oil, which is hurting a lot of people. Now, what that creates is that while high inflation should drive higher demand for gold, but if people simply don't have money and people have to go to the market to sell the gold that they have, they actually create a supply rather than a net demand for gold. And certainly in India, despite the inflation, because of this tug of war between buyers and sellers, in which very likely sellers are dominant right now, there is very likely excess gold. There's likely gold selling at a discount to what it should be selling at. A lot of financial institutions have sold off the gold that people had left with them as collateral. So they have sold gold worth billions of rupees as a result of failure of people to repay their loans. Again, it's a economic situation and there's this tug of war between sellers and buyers, and despite inflation, as a result, for now, sellers are dominant because they are just hungry and broke.
Well, and that's one thing to consider, right? Under all the data, you need to understand where the main drivers or who the consumers would be for the gold market. And in India, it sounds like it's a lot of the individuals, but if they're struggling this much, then yeah, that's not good for that underlying gold demand. But as you said, maybe Asia, certain parts of Asia, could pick up the slack here. Either way, gold is at least trending slightly higher over the last little bit. Giant, let's quickly move over to a couple companies then. Any companies right now that have your eye, considering just how slow the market is, and in all fairness, the lack of movement from a lot of the companies here, especially exploration companies?
Sure. Corey, there's a company, Austar Gold. The spelling is Austar Gold. And this is an ASX listed company. The ticker is AUL. And it's trading for around 31 cents. It is being acquired by another ASX listed company. And the arbitrage upside is more than 20%. Now, as we have talked about the arbitrages in the past, based on my understanding of the two companies, I think the underpinning values of the two companies is also going to be there. So I should be able to exercise at least my arbitrage upside when the merger is closed. And the merger is expected to close, the final decision, the vote is on the 30th of July, and the court decision will be 2 weeks later. So in just over a month, we should be able to in cash our shares. Now, there's only one problem I have, and that is the reason why I'm going to sell my shares once the merger is over. And the reason is that Austar Gold did a financing at a significant discount to the financing that the acquiring company is making, which means that basically, from my point of view, it was not a shareholder-friendly financing. It was when both the companies were doing it financing, Austar should have done financing at the same ratio that the merger was happening. So they did not do it. They did it at a substantial discount, which to me tells me that a lot of those shares are probably going to friendly insider or friendly to insider hands. So I'm not going to hold on to these companies for too long, but I have an arbitrage upside in the short term.
Okay. Giant, you and I were also talking about another company, Grand Columbia, that not necessarily in the shares that you're interested in, a bit of a different strategy here. Please take us through that one.
So, Corey, I made money from the merger of Goldex with Grand Columbia, and that merger closed a month or 2 months back. And there was a nice, decent arbitrage between the two companies. So that having been made, I want to sell my Grand Columbia shares, and I want to invest that money into Grand Columbia warrants. Grand Columbia warrants, the ticker is GCM.WT.B. And the interesting thing about these warrants, which are actually fairly illiquid, is that they are trading for the share price of Grand Columbia minus the exercise price. So you are actually buying these warrants at their inherent value without any premium whatsoever. The only problem here is that you are going to lose out on the dividend that the company pays. But the dividend is so minor that I'm not really worried about the dividend. I think there's a nice upside in Grand Columbia. In my view, there's probably 100% upside in Grand Columbia shares. But if I buy warrants, I actually position myself for a 250 or 300% upside, because I'm only buying the warrant for now. The only problem, of course, is that Colombia has its social problems, the instability that's happening in the country. But then the problem is you have to invest in mining where it is. And there are political and social problems around the world right now.
There absolutely is. That actually, I guess, seems to be the theme of this interview. But you know what? There are companies that are still doing some good work. So if you want to invest in the gold sector, yeah, be sure that you're investing in some of the good companies. But that whole trading strategy around the Grand Columbia warrants, that's an interesting one there, Giant. Giant, hey, I appreciate your time. Thanks for taking some time while you are in India. Interesting comments regarding the Indian people and how that could affect the gold market. But again, a lot of people put a lot of weight on individual countries, especially when they're buying a lot of gold, as major drivers. But one thing we have seen is a lot of countries are very price sensitive as well. So something else to keep in mind. Giant, thank you for your time. I hope you have a great rest of your week. We'll chat again soon.
Great. Thanks very much, Corey.